This podcast is a Bendigedig Media production.
Hello, I'm Michael Sheen, and you are listening to a Touchline Rant podcast.
Episode 206 of a Touchline Rant podcast. You're in for a treat this week. Mitchell Lewis-Gadd, the authorities have finally caught up with him. Turns out it was his fingerprints. I'm sure he'll get sorted. Mitchell will be back. So this week it's me and Dan. Say hello, Dan.
Hello, mate. How are we?
It's been a while. I'm very well.
It's been too long.
It's good to have you back on.
I made a debut. It was debut. And I was like, right, that's it. Successfully achieved. Done. Yep. Tick that off. I can put that on my CV. Then just disappeared into the night. That's what happened.
You did. It was almost like you had your international call up. But then you missed the second game. But it was a friendly. And you're like, oh, I don't know. But then the next round of internationals has now appeared and you're called up to the qualifier.
It's like back in the day when Ryan Giggs used to just pick and choose when he played. Yeah. That's basically me. I am Ryan Giggs in this podcast as Wales. Sorry to break it to everyone.
Foreshadowing what we sort of outlined, we're going into this with zero prep.
Just behind the curtain.
Yeah, we're just going to see what happens. Keeping sort of in this international little dwelling that we've created for ourselves here. It's interesting that Wales did have Ryan Giggs and he did decide when he was going to play. He just went, circle me in for that one. You have Michael Owen, who at one point just played for England because he kept getting injured when he was at Newcastle.
It's a weird one with Michael Owen, isn't it? It's as if he just found something to go, yeah, this is all right. I can do this one. Yeah. Once in a blue moon. Yes, please.
Yeah.
And then he's like, playing Newcastle. You know what? Hamstring gone again. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Whereas at least
Ryan Giggs was more kind of like, it was more obvious what he was doing. Mike, listen, we know Michael Owen was very injury prone. I don't think he's injury pro now. I don't think you can pull out of being a pundit with a bad hamstring.
I mean, if you can, he's tried.
Yeah, he's tried it. But at least with Giggsy, you kind of went, yeah. He doesn't want to go to Azerbaijan on a Tuesday night. Whereas Michael Owen's like, yes.
Yeah.
I want to sample the culture.
He's doing nothing else, is he? He's not sat at home watching movies, as we know.
Yes.
Very nothing.
He just wants to sit on a quiet flight with no entertainment, staring into the abyss whilst he goes to Azerbaijan. That's what he wants.
That's what he wants.
Fair play to him. And he made a career out of it.
Yeah, each their own. That's what I say. That's what that floats his boat. We've now also, back with Wales, we've now got obviously the figure of Gareth Bale, who I won't have a bad word said against because I love him.
He's the Welsh Michael Owen.
He is.
He doesn't play for club. But when he turns up for the country,
you can tell everything about what his feelings are towards his club.
Oh.
When you find out that when they were playing in the Champions League against PSG, Bale had already left and was in the Wales camp with Wayne Hennessy.
So good. Like, I love that. I love that. He's basically got one of, if not the most famous, one of the most decorated teams in the whole of European football, one of the most, you could say Real Madrid to anyone, they won't know football, but they will know Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And he's got them on strings.
Yeah.
He's like, you're still paying me. I'm going to do what, you're not going to play me. That's absolutely fine, but I'm going to go see you. And the fact he, again, the confidence of the man to start, like, we all remember the picture with the flag. Now, he could have gone, that's disrespectful, but he was like, I'm having a bit of that.
Yeah.
Love that. I love that. And like, listen, that's like, for me, that's how it should be for playing for your country. You should go, I don't care what's happening. I want to go and play for my country, regardless of what's happening. He is arguably one of, probably is the best ever Welsh import into the world of football, including the likes of Ryan Giggs. But he's just phenomenal.
I'd even go as far to say that Gareth Bale is up there in the conversation for greatest British player of all time.
Oh, yeah.
He's in that conversation. He's in that conversation with Rooney.
The worst thing is, though, is like people will look at the past kind of few years with Madrid and will go, that's not his fault. He's not playing. Like he's just not being selected. He's had these managers. He's gone, listen, I want to play. He went back to Spurs, played all right. It was okay. Mm. He very much went, I'm not staying here. They're not going to win anything. I may as well stay over there and go win trophies, not get involved, but be part of the team spirit.
Yeah.
I'll go full Scott Carson with it. I'll be there in the background enjoying my life.
I love Gareth Bale. So because, I mean, one, how he's just treated the most arrogant football club in the world. Like Real Madrid just think they can do whatever they want. The only way I could love him more from a club level is if he signs for Barcelona on free this summer.
Imagine.
Gareth Bale on a free. Yeah, to Barca. First El Clasico. He scores.
Not just scores a hat trick.
An absolute blinder. Like, Gareth Bale, it wasn't everyone. When he banged in that overhead kick in the final against Liverpool, everyone's like, oh my God, Gareth Bale's really good at football. And I'm like, yeah, we know he's really good at football. What are you on about? He's brilliant at football. And he's, again, now, his passion for Wales and playing for Wales, like you see how much it means to him. And him coming out and saying comments like, if they still want me, I'll still be playing for Wales when I'm 60. It's just like, I will play, I'll turn up, I'll train, I'll get in shape. And he scored two amazing goals against Austria. And we're in the playoff final. It's super. I can't say anything bad about him. I love him too much.
With these games, did you go into it kind of... How did you approach this as a Welsh man, football-loving man? How do you approach the playoffs for a tournament like the World Cup? And this isn't me like kind of trying to be condescending, but this is me just going...
Yeah.
Like, how do you approach that? Do you go, we're going to win this? Or is there something in the back of your brain that goes, oh, we might mess this up?
Yeah.
How do you approach that?
It's going to be more difficult than some people think.
Mm.
But we've had a blinder when it comes to fixtures and where they're scheduled. So having that game against Austria, who are a decent side, but they're not world-class level.
Yeah,
I think they're beatable. They seem on par, to be honest. I think Wales are the same level as Austria. I think they're bigger teams, so like France, they're not bad, but they are beatable. You know, the France wouldn't struggle against us. So I thought, right, we got it at Cardiff City Stadium. It's a home game.
Yeah,
I was like, we got it. So I was full of confidence going into that semi final. Like full of it. I was like, there's no way we're losing this game. It's a packed Cardiff City. So like moving it from the Millennium, moving it from this gigantic stadium that Welsh rugby isn't even selling out at the minute for the Six Nations, and expecting the Welsh football team in a rugby loving country to sell out was never going to happen. They moved it to the Cardiff City Stadium. It's a much smaller stadium. They sell it out and the atmosphere there is incredible.
That's like a massive part of it, though, isn't it? It's like the... It's a cliche, but it's the 12th man effect. Like, you take a team like Austria, again, you say very kind of even teams, both got standout players, both have got the belief that they could have taken to that game and gone, well, we're going to win this because it's in our hands. But you take them and put them in, like, the pit of, like, that stadium with the fans kind of baying. It's like, all right, okay, so this is more daunting than we originally thought it was going to be. Like, it's a massive part of it. And I think we spoke kind of like just before we started recording this about how both of our like, you know, countries kind of approach international games before the tournament and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The Welsh pride is something, as an Englishman, when you look at it, you go, God, I'm so jealous of that. Like, to be up for a game and to kind of like, whatever the result, you know, Monday morning, there isn't going to be slander in the papers. There's going to be no social media abuse. And that's the reason why it's so, like, you kind of, I think if it, I don't know, the English way of going, it's one of those teams you would fall in love with if I was allowed to for being a proud Englishman. It's one of those teams you would fall in love with because they rock up, they're a team, they're a unit. You've got probably one of the better players in Gareth Bale, but that doesn't necessarily mean Ampadu's not going to put a shift in. And you know, you've got Aaron Ramsey, you've got players, you've got it makes me jealous. It makes me sick.
We've got such an exciting team of players, and the younger players that we've got coming through, like Nico Williams and Ampadu and Connor Roberts and Tyler Roberts. These players are very, very talented players who could go far. It's interesting that the mentality in Wales is that in my lifetime, I've seen a swing towards the Welsh football side. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel, maybe it was because I was younger and because we played in a huge stadium, but it feels different now. It feels, since that Euros campaign, we beat in Belgium, you know, it's just like that love hasn't gone. It's still there. So it's not many sides who can get that many people out on a Tuesday night with the game, bear in mind, was on terrestrial TV in Wales.
Yeah.
So you could watch it on terrestrial TV, but they still sold that stadium out. And the atmosphere, I don't know if you've ever, I mean, the national anthem, when a packed stadium in Wales sings the national anthem, it is something to behold. But if you can manage to do that as a neutral, so like if it's Wales, England, I'm not expecting you to be like, oh my God, this is amazing. Because you're going to be like, hang on, we've got a game on, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
But if you manage to see like Wales versus like France or something where you haven't got a dog in the road and in the stadium, honestly, it's one of the best things in the world that you can experience.
It's that for me is like one of the massive differences between the Welsh and the English, how we approach football. Like our national anthem is associated with football. Occasionally it gets sung at the proms.
Yeah.
But mostly it's by drunk men going to a football game before and after. Like it's again, you kind of, I hear our national anthem, I go, oh, that's our national anthem. But great. Like it's, I've been to Wembley for like a World Cup qualifier and I can just go, oh yeah, it's like the telly. It's very clean. It's great. Lovely stuff. We move on. I for me, it's just so, it's so hard to get behind. Like it is I think I said before, it's the arrogance of an Englishman to go, well, we're going to get in this tournament. So why do I need to bother about the bits leading up to it? Why do I need to bother with this? And we kind of fall in love with the England team for 4 weeks, every 4 years. Where we go, yeah, great. We could do it. Oh, unbelievable.
There is a marked difference in the way that you approach, in the way you approach things. However, you know, that's probably, when you look at it, that's actually probably a compliment to the English national side, because it's that expectation that you are going to qualify. You rightly should expect to qualify out of your group. You're one of the better national teams in world football. And you have been previously. To us, we're just happy.
I want that. That's the thing, is like this kind of, I've not watched a tournament. Obviously, we didn't make the Euros like a few tournaments back, and you kind of go, oh, well, football's all right without us. Like football's getting on just fine. Yeah. Like I want that of going, listen, qualifying's great. We've made it. Everything else, Everything else, we're going to enjoy the 4 weeks. We just get to that 4 weeks and go, right now, you've got to win. You've got to win it. I don't care for semifinals anymore. We've done a semifinal. We've done a final. We've lost in a final. Now we've got to win. The pressure on our players to go out and perform for that kind of audience, for those, for that crowd in there going, don't balls this up.
Yeah.
Or else we're going to have an issue. Your face is going to be all over the papers, dartboards, all around the all around England, going to have your face on it. Whereas I want that to come like, lads, that was great. Like the past, like the Euros genuinely was one of the best summers of my life, even though we had to watch most of the games locked down. It was, I actually watched my team, my country in a final. Mm. That for me, great. But then now like we're coming towards the World Cup, you go, wow, we've got to really put like, this is Italy aren't there, so we've got a better chance. Well, hang on, there's more countries. It's not just us rocking up, kicking a ball around.
It's crazy to think that literally I'm sat here thinking, oh God, if we got to that World Cup, it would be like, oh my God, that would be the most amazing thing as a Welsh football fan to be like, we're at a World Cup. Because what we had was when, obviously we had a very successful 2016 Euro campaign, beating Belgium, you know, making it to the semi-finals. We were phenomenal that tournament. We were brilliant. We didn't go as far in the recent Euros tournament, but oh, that night, like we put on live shows for every Welsh game during the Euros, and it was the most amazing atmosphere to watch a Welsh game because it was during lockdown. Wow. To be in a room with just a bunch of people watching Wales win. Was phenomenal. It was like, oh my God, it's happening again. But at the World Cup, we won't be going into that thinking anything other than, I can't believe we've actually managed to qualify for a World Cup. Like, if we get there. And if we don't, it won't matter. Because if we lose the final game, we'll be like, oh my God, that qualifying campaign that was brilliant. What? How much fun was that?
And then you've got loads of other countries to support when they come against England. So you've got it sorted. It's absolutely spot on. That's what's happened. When you're kind of going, we mentioned there you've got that no expectation. You still want to win the games, obviously. You want to kind of like, you're in the tournament, you may as well kind of like balls to the wall, let's go for it.
Yeah.
Watching those games and then seeing how the English react. What is your honest opinion of how we approach these international, because as I said before, international friendlies, I really couldn't care less for. I didn't watch England. I forgot they were on. And that's how kind of like little I care. I finished work. I was like, oh, England are on. Oh, well, I think I watched something else. But yeah, what's your kind of opinion of, I mean, it's not, I mean, let's be honest. This podcast is your vehicle to abuse people. What's your opinion of how we approach, because it's good, like obviously I'm surrounded by English people, believe that or not, in England. So for us, we're kind of like, oh yeah, we believe this. What do you look at us and go, look at these guys, man?
What is interesting at the minute, because I think this England squad is different to the ones that I've seen of recent time. Like the England squads under definitely McLaren, even, you know, under Keegan, under Sven, under all of these managers, never got me excited in any way, shape or form. I just thought, this is a team of individuals. This one seems slightly different. I quite like the Southgate approach to it. So if I was an England fan right now, I would genuinely be going into that World Cup thinking, we can have a decent run at this. So to pin that to one side, historically, my view on the general consensus living in Wales as a, is that England fans go into every tournament going, well, it's, we're either going to win this or be seriously fucked off. Like, they're the only two options.
Yes.
That's it. So it's like watching that. It's just like, well, hang on a minute. That's like Blackburn Rovers going every single season. Unless... we're going to be queuing. It's like, boys, you're in League One. In the Premier League, well, we're fucked off then.
Yeah, that's, you know, absolutely spot on. The final was a confusing time because we're either going to win this, but we don't know how we're going to react. Like, we genuinely, we got to, like, we always saying, like, oh, you know, it's coming home. We didn't know what was going to happen if it actually came home. Just that was the thing. It's like, I don't know how I'd react. I've seen, we're both Manchester United fans. I've seen, and I've been lucky to see, my football club win everything in football. I like that winning feeling. My country, not a thing. So I didn't know how I was going to react on that night. If we somehow beat one penalties, I'd still be drinking. I think a lot of the country would still be drinking.
It would have been interesting. What I quite liked was the difference of, if you remember, like, there was a petition going around when England were in the final. There was a petition going around to get the next day declared a bank holiday.
Yes,
and it was talked about in Parliament, and it was literally, we might have to call it a bank holiday anyway. We might just have to do it because they're going to be, it might just be worth it. In Wales, genuinely, when that happened, my boss made contingency plans with an agency because he was like, they win. He was like, these boys just won't turn up, and none of us would turn up. Like, we'd planned it so that if we got to the final, we were just not going to go to work.
Brilliant.
That was up and down Wales. We would have just had our own bank holiday because none of us had turned up. We're not coming in.
If you are, just unbelievable. But that's what was. Again, we started talking about international friendlies, and more importantly for you qualifiers, we went talking about past glories as international football down to a T. Do you like an international break? You're a fan of Premier League football?
Not particularly, and literally unless Wales have got a qualifier.
Yeah.
And even then, if I'm being like if we've got like some of the sort of easier fixtures early, I don't tend to get into the international group until midway through. Because I prefer it. I prefer a full league weekend. It's far better. You've got fantasy football to think about. You know, you've got people up and down the country fuming because an assist was taken off them. You know, it's far more exciting.
On the flip side, on international football, we did see Christian Eriksen return playing for Denmark, which was nice.
I mean, I genuinely was moved when I watched it. Because that was one, the Denmark game, talking about the live shows that we put on during the Euros, that was one of the games that we showed.
Wow.
So we were watching it live in a room full of people, and I had a live mic.
Wow.
So it was like, I literally was like, I don't know what to say. It's like, I literally have no idea what to say.
The fact he is back playing at, the highest level. He's playing for his international team. He's playing in the Premier League. The fact he's back after that is incredible. And the fact he scored with his first touch is just, some would say, match fixing. But not me. Not me. Not me. Some would say, too much of a coincidence this is. Too much.
It is incredible when you look at it like that. You're like, the last thing he did on an international pitch was die.
Yes, yeah.
For a bit. And then he comes off the bench and, literally scores with his first touch.
If it wasn't...
That is the most stark before and after.
If it wasn't for the fact it was a half-decent goal, you'd go, come on now. We know how shady FIFA can be.
Someone would have looked at that and gone, come on, he's not a little lad you're taking the Alton Towers for the day as a treat.
Yes, he is a grown man.
You shepherded him towards the goal.
Speaking of which, nice segue. You seen the highlights of Gazza scoring?
Yeah.
That's how it could have been. That's all I'm saying. That's how it could have been. A grown man getting past the ball and then going, come on, you're losing anyway. Come on. And well, then we weren't, but you know, it's just two different ends of the spectrum.
You brought up Paul Gaskell, this is an interest because I've got someone else to give this question to now because I can't work it out. Yeah. If you knew the end would be abrupt and in the eyes of some people, it would be sad, you know, like the case of Paul Gascoigne's life and the case of Diego Maradona's life. Yeah. These two people were seen as troubled and, you know, you watched videos of them in a state and you felt sorry for them. What percentage of you would still, given the choice, still live their life?
Oh, 100%, mate. Yeah. Like, you mentioned Maradona. I don't think at one point of his life ever, but obviously growing up, apparently he had like rough childhood and stuff, and then you know, discovered football, and then the rest is literally history.
Yeah.
I even 50% of his life, I would go, you know, some of the drugs, keep them to yourself, mate. I don't want them. But let me live your lifestyle of being one of the most revered, like just his career. Just imagine being able to say, I'm Maradona. Or do you know when people pretend to kick a football around, the professional footballers now go, oh, who did you pretend to be? I pretended to be Maradona. I am Maradona. Imagine that. Yeah. Even though Gascoigne, like people go, like, especially we mentioned like the England lads. What goal did you recreate? Oh, Gaz's goal in the Euros with the celebration. Recreated that. Imagine having any... Like, I can't imagine... I've done some decent things in my life, but if anybody recreates any of them, I think they have more problems than they care to admit. I'll be honest. There's nothing in my life that I think anybody would want to kind of live minute by minute of. Imagine that. Imagine.
If someone said to me, this debate came up originally because when Maradona was blatantly off his face at the World Cup supporting Argentina.
Well, we all saw the video.
Yeah. He's him coming in on that aeroplane. And he's like doing shots out the crook of his arm. And there's literally a bag of cocaine sat next to him on his private jet.
Ridiculous.
It's literally there. It's not even hidden. It's just there. And they thought someone went, yeah, no, we'll put this up on his Instagram feed. But living that life, it came up because I was talking to about that with my co-founder of the podcast, Alex Skinner. And he said, oh, it's sad though, isn't it? I was like, mate, I'm genuinely, I've got to be honest, a little bit jealous. He said, what? I was like, mate, he is Maradona. He's on his private jet. He is so revered that that Italy will not ask him for money back that he owes. He owes so much in back taxes to the city of Naples, or owed, that they could have arrested him the second he landed. They chose not to because Maradona. And he's literally doing shots on a private jet with a bag of drugs next to him and having the time of his life, enjoying himself. I was like, I know it's not going to end well, but I'm just saying, you take it.
Just a week. Just a week of his life.
As long as I could immediately revert back to me and have no come down and no hangover. Oh. If I could just come back and just feel fine.
Like a fever dream. You just go to your family. I was Madonna for a week. Madonna? Madonna? That's a different one.
If you have the Maradona. Same dream as me.
I was Maradona for a week and then Madonna turned up. Next thing you know, I'm awake. Imagine that. Just be Maradona for a week.
I would have taken it. I'm telling you. I would have absolutely taken it.
I'd take Madonna. I'd do Madonna for a week.
Madonna.
Yeah.
I'd take being one of Madonna's kids. To be honest.
She can take me now if she wants. Yeah. I'll sign the papers. I'll sign them myself. She'll come around Stoke-on-Trent with a net. I'll be like, yeah, go on, take me. I'll have a shave.
Basically, your job, I don't know how this is, I like the wormhole we're going down here. Basically, being one of Madonna's kids is literally, all it involves is getting paid a load of money by your parent. And occasionally you have to go on Twitter and be ashamed of her. Do you know what I mean?
Listen, I'm up for that. On the off chance that Madonna listens to this episode, listen, we'll both come down. I think we'll get you on the podcast. If that doesn't sell it, nothing will.
This is it. I got to reach out to her now. I'm going to send her this podcast.
She needs to be tagged in this.
Yeah. I'm going to send her this podcast and we're like, fancy it? We'll just talk about why.
Imagine Madonna doing a best 11. Just imagine. Oh, she'd have an answer. She'd research.
Telling her again, you cannot have Versace in the middle of the park.
It's in the middle with Roy Keane. I've got Versace and Roy Keane because you never know. You need two sides of the spectrum. That's what you need.
Imagine Roy Keane's face. Imagine if he turned up one day and playing next to him in the fields. Versace.
He kicked off when there was people wearing gloves, or defenders wearing gloves. Imagine Madonna in all of her like just random dress on the side of the pitch, just directing him, not with her hands either, just kind of gesticulating. Just that's the way you need to go.
I would pay vast sums of money to be able to organise a charity match. We somehow get Versace to play the centre mid with Roy Keane and have Madonna be the manager. Oh. But it'd be Roy Keane now.
Has to be Roy Keane now.
Roy Keane now. He would literally be stood there and he's like, what is going on?
Just Micah Richards in the background, laughing his chops off. Just that's what we need.
Micah Richards got to be right back. He has to be. I would get Carragher's got to be centre back. Do you know what I mean this team? This team.
Have we just come up with a new soccer aid? Is that what happened? Soccer aid is going to be a right come down after this episode. Thinking, there's a podcast talking about Madonna being a manager and Versace in midfield. We've got no chance. Who've you got? We've got Chunks and somebody off TikTok. Oh no.
We've got Jonathan Wilkes again.
I will not have a bad word said about that man. Thank you. How dare you? You've crossed the line there. It's all well and good talking about...
Stayed away from Robbie.
Yeah, it's all well and good talking about Maradona's drug issues and Madonna leading the line with her breasts, but I will not have a cross word said about Jonathan Wilkes.
Jonathan Wilkes, the man who just was... on like did Godspell rerun around the country and was mates with Robbie Williams.
Listen, that's not as mad as the conversation
we had.
He's a good lad. He is a decent footballer. And listen, he is a nice lad. He's a nice guy. I see him every year at Christmas. he is a lovely man. He doesn't come round. He does panto. I should probably say that. It's a good way to clarify. He does panto locally. How did we get onto this conversation?
I don't know, but it's a beautiful, beautiful conversation. Yeah. I was enjoying it, to be honest. Let's try and get some semblance of structure back.
Sorry. Completely derailed.
Just gone down a Jonathan Wilkes shape.
Good luck describing this one when you upload it, mate.
In my head, I'm weighing up, do I have Madonna as the picture or Jonathan Wilkes?
You need Jonathan Wilkes, Madonna, and Roy Keane in the middle, just kind of just like he's on some sort of Jeremy Kyle show. There you go.
That is literally what I'm going to spend my evening doing now on Photoshop.
I'm glad we covered off the Johnny Wilkes bit on the running order, by the way.
Yeah, no, that is... I mean, that is somewhere that I never expected to go. Like, genuinely, we've gone from saying we'll get Madonna on the podcast and me being like, oh, it'd be a funny little campaign, but that had never in a million years happened, to then going, we might be able to get Jonathan Wilkes.
It'd be absolutely fine. Let's just get it sorted.
We've had Michael Sheen on here. Like,
you're basically one step away from Madonna anyway.
Yeah, so we've had Michael Sheen, who is the unofficial Prime Minister of Wales, basically, on this shit.
Did he talk about Madonna kind of leading the line with... No?
No.
He's missed that one, hasn't he? That's an own goal from Sheen.
Yeah, none of it.
Unbelievable.
None of it. The most professional man I have ever sat down in interviews, because he sat down and I said, oh, how's it going? And he went to take his coat off and he looked at my phone, looked at me and he went, are we recording? It's like, no. And he was like, oh, thank fuck for that. And just and just started chatting. And the Dan Tite, who works for Working Word, friends of the podcast, had set this up during the Homeless World Cup in Cardiff. We only had like 50, 20 minutes with him. And he was taking up all this time. I was like, we really need to. The minute we pressed record, it was a different man. The most professional, switched on, knew exactly what to say.
So she's the director of football then in our made-up football team with Madonna as the manager, Roy Keane as the captain, or Versace as the captain, and Sheen as the director of football. Is that what we're
Sheen would make a damn good director of football. And if it all went to shit, he'd just do his Brian Clough impression. That would literally...
He's got it all.
He would just be Brian Clough. And if that didn't inspire him, he'd drop in a bit of Blair.
Because that's what all football teams need.
Yeah.
Either Clough or Blair, whichever one. Whichever one works.
You've got two options. One's Brian Clough, one's Tony Blair.
Right, lads. Who do you want the team to up from today? Clough or Blair? Come on, take your pick.
we've got two and one there as the director of football. Three. I mean, Sheen is a prime minister. Sheen is a member of parliament.
Yes.
In Wales. You know, he is literally our president. He's him and Drakeford are our tag team, basically. They're like the Legion of Doom. Of Wales.
Now all I'm imagining now is him and that mental, like spiky, like shoulder pads.
Drakeford can't get enough of that.
that's his normal get-up.
See, now the picture that I'm going to use promote this episode is now Mark Drakeford with Legion of Doom shoulder pads on.
Oh, I can't wait! Right. Because people are going to be listening to this right at the beginning going, oh, finally, some conversation about international football. This is good. They're talking to each other. Yeah. And then they're going to get like half an hour in and it's gone to shit. Like, just in case you were wondering, this is still a football podcast.
We've loosely based it around the premise of we've just recreated Soccer Aid. The only difference between us and Soccer Aid is we've somehow got to bring an Italian fashion designer back from the dead to perform it.
Oh my goodness.
That should be, I mean, we'll give that. What? Who is it? I don't know. Maybe we'll get the Undertaker.
Yes.
Undertaker can be centre back just for Roy Keane's face.
Yeah, just we'll just create a team where Roy Keane reacts individually to every single person. Just when he looks around the pitch, he just has a different reaction. It's like, oh my God. Every time he just gets more and more angry. That's what we want. That's what we want. Listen, all I'm saying is this has been a great advert for why international football shouldn't exist, because this is what happens.
Yeah, this is what happens.
This is what happens. You're welcome. Send this to FIFA and go, listen. You're ruining podcasts left, right, and centre.
It's just that we have points that I was going to make, and to be fair though, this is the joy of this is where the podcast comes in, and this is why when I literally sent off air before, I literally got nothing. I'm sat on a table which is sparse. I've got no way of writing notes about. I don't know what time we started recording, I don't know where the edit points are. Nothing. I'm going to have to wing it.
Stick it up unedited. It'll be absolutely fine. We haven't said anything incriminating. Everything is purely factual. If one thing comes out of today's podcast, I want people to come up with their alternative Soccer Aid lineup, but with just random people. It's the only rules are it has to include Roy Keane, Versace, Jonathan Wilkes.
Yep.
And Sheen. Oh, and Madonna is the manager.
Madonna is the manager. And everything she has to instruct them.
Yeah.
Because if we're going coaching staff and assistant managers, can Elton John be the assistant
manager?
Mate,
I was literally going to say Elton needs to be in there somewhere. I promise you that was going to come out of my mouth. But the thing is he's on like this, do you know, like a mobility scooter? But the mobility scooter is a piano. So wherever he goes, he could just break into Candle in the Wind at any point and everybody has to stop. That's the national anthem, Candle in the Wind. At any point, he could just stop playing and come in and play Candle in the Wind. There we go.
Imagine. It's got this image of Roy Keane finally getting through and he's got to stop He like rams the last defender and he's going to be one-on-one. He's got about 20 yards to make up. And then he's got to stop his run. Elton John's come out and he's playing Candle in the Wind.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Imagine Roy Keane's face just hearing Micah Richards in the back at right back.
Singing. Just he's doing the harmonies. Like Elton's trying to do the original version, but Mike is a big fan of Diana. So he's doing that version and he's arguing about which version they need to sing. Listen, it's going to play out. If Sky don't buy it, Apple TV will. That's all I'm saying.
This has got legs. It's got what I'm saying. Like, if anyone's watching this who just wants to give Dan and I a ludicrous amount of money, we will make the most entertaining game of football ever. Like, no game will beat it.
It's purely for the fans. It'll be comedy. It will be football and music. We've got music in there with Elton.
Yeah,
that's what's going to happen. I don't understand why it wouldn't go ahead.
I can't see any problems with this in any way, shape, or form.
No. Apart from the fact we've got a dead man in midfield. Yeah, with the amount of money that will be given, we can bring him back to life.
We need a serious amount of coin because they've made a Netflix series about that man dying. So we are going to have to try really hard.
Yeah, imagine Netflix going, oh, series two. He's back for a football game. It's like a really piss poor Tiger King where they go, oh, is he going to come out? No, he's not, because we've all seen the news. But they go, oh, in 2022 on a Touchline Rant, a podcast stretched across two countries, two men who should know better brought him back to life to play in centre midfield with Roy Keane. Like, if that's not the story, I don't know what is.
We're going to have to get a patent on this idea. You get older Jonathan Wilkes and ask him what happened with Soccer Aid. He'll have Robbie's.
Yeah. We'll just go, listen, forget Soccer Aid. We don't want that anymore. That's full of TikTok stars and YouTubers. We want real stars. And we want Elton John on a mobile.
We need serious money. We need Illuminati cash here, Robbie. Point us in the right direction.
Yeah.
The next, he's going to put us in front touch with Gary Barlow, and God knows who Gary Barlow is mates with.
Exactly. What we'll do is we'll go, right, Johnny, what you need to do is, have you seen that video of Will Smith smacking Chris Rock? Well, when Madonna goes on stage to get another award, you're Will Smith. And then that will kick it off.
Yeah.
We've got the promo. People will be talking. It's all over the internet.
Michael Sheen's attached.
Michael, yeah, exactly. He'll be there.
I'll pull the string. I genuinely still got his mobile number. So
clang. Somebody just pick that up. Whoa. It's only taken 20 minutes into us absolutely unraveling. Yeah.
Right. I think we should wrap it there. To be honest.
We spoke about international football and just, I don't know what else we just spoke about, but what a podcast.
That was something else. I mean, it was the tale of two halves, which
I did enjoy that we did try and keep it professional for you, dear listener.
Tried and failed.
Yeah, we tried. If anything, blame Mitch.
Yeah, Mitch's fault. Mitch was not here.
It's absolutely Mitch's fault for unraveling everything.
I genuinely, knowing Mitch, can't believe that as it turns out, Mitch is the glue that holds this podcast will go completely off the rails. Because I know he's very not he's not someone I would say, yeah, no, he's good at holding everything together. If anything, he's the one that I'm having to grab by the back of it, pull him back in. But wait. I'm back. You saw a butterfly again, Mitch. Pay attention. Back in the room.
What we've realized is there's nobody there to drag you back.
This
and
might
I,
be the problem.
My hands are clean.
This might be the problem. Or you could be the gateway drug I never knew I needed.
Wow. That's going on my CV. Can't tell me the gateway drug you never knew you needed.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've enjoyed this week. Despite half talking football, half not. I kind of guess it's football. I've enjoyed this week. Thank you very much, Dan.
It's been a pleasure.
So long next time.
Listen, blame League Two. We didn't even talk about League Two.
No, we didn't even talk about League Two.
Literally, sorry, just to not continue, but to continue, One of the things Luke said was, we'll talk about international football. It can lead on to a debate about Harry Kane. That's not happened. I have to save that for another podcast.
We knocked Harry Kane off his podcast with Jonathan Wilkes.
Yeah. And we'll also talk about League Two. None of that happened. We spoke about Madonna, Maradona, Versace, and Roy Keane. Welcome to a touchline rant.
On that note, bye, my fair listener.
Hi, I'm David Cottrell, and you are listening to a Touchline Rant podcast.
Touchline rant. This is a touchline rant. touchline rant. Oh, touchline.